Jeremiah chapter 17, so I have a handout. Jeremiah chapter 17, so we'll look here at verses 5 through 8, so I'll read the verses here. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now, Father, we pray that you bless us. Thank you for the service. We pray that you bless our time now as we open the Word of God. Pray that you speak to hearts. Thank you for each one here. Pray that you bless those that are listening as well and use the Scripture here as we focus on it. We thank thee that we have the Bible and have access to it. Even the message of Jeremiah many, many centuries ago, we pray that you'll allow the Scriptures to speak to our heart. We ask, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this, as I mentioned there in the commentary introduction here, the chapter 17, in chapter 17, the second of five sermons, this is 5 through 8, as wisdom literature. So these verses here sounds like a psalm in the Old Testament. What psalm do you think that might be? Sounds like a psalm, yes. Back row. Psalm 1, yeah, okay. Psalm 1. I thought you were raising your hand. Okay. All right. Okay. You're just raising your finger. All right. All right. So, and it reverted back to Psalm 1. Contained the two ways to live, even with a deceitful and desperately wicked heart. So you think that, keep that in mind. We haven't got to verse 9 yet, but that's what we all have, a deceitful and desperately wicked heart. But nevertheless, with that as part of us, we can still make a choice between one of two ways. And we need to make the right choice. So in the Old Testament, for instance, conversion. So I want to talk a little bit about conversion. So how is it that a person, before they're saved, have a deceitful and desperately wicked heart? And then after they're saved, they still have a deceitful and desperately wicked heart. Because we have an old nature before we're saved, but after we're saved, we still maintain or have that old nature, but we also gain a new nature. Now, in the Old Testament, the saints had the Spirit of God with them. The Spirit of God was not permanently indwelling them in the sense of regeneration, but they did have salvation, and they did see the spiritual and have spiritual experiences and have a walk with the Lord. So John chapter 14, verse 17 makes that clear. The Spirit was with them, but shall be in you. So there's a theological passage there. It makes a difference. But nevertheless, conversion was a truth in the Old Testament. It's available to the race of Adam prior to Christ's work on the cross. Concerning Abraham, for instance, Scripture says, and he believed in the Lord and was counted to him for righteousness. So Abraham was a believer. He was a converted man. He was a saved man. He just didn't have permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He didn't have regeneration, but he had salvation. So there's a distinction there. All right. So he's a saved man, no question. And he could live a godly life. But we know in the case of Abraham, as a saved man, he lied several times. But on the other hand, he was a righteous man. Likewise with all the saints in the Old Testament. They had an old nature, but they had been converted. Likewise, Rahab the harlot believed in the Lord. That's Joshua chapter 2, verse 11 and so on. She believed in the Lord and demonstrated the fruits meet for repentance. How did she demonstrate that? She took care of the Lord's spies that came in. And then remember the sailors on the in the book of Jonah, how they were converted on the ship. They were converted on the ship that Jonah was on. And they trusted in the Lord, Jonah 1, 14 through 16. So there was a conversion in the Old Testament. So we're just trying to make a theological note here as Jeremiah is dealing here in the Old Testament era, where he was a saved man, he was converted man. He's talking about conversion, and conversion included turning, that's repentance, and faith. And that's still required today. So, they turned from wickedness and believed the Lord. The sailors, for instance, in the book of Jonah. The prophets preached, repent ye therefore and be converted. Acts 3:19 says this, going back to the Old Testament, declaring that. Old Testament salvation included repentance and faith. And there were then fruits expected. All right. However, there were not three ways of salvation. Not three ways of salvation. repent, believe, and do works. So this is a threefold view of salvation. Salvation should bring forth fruit, but forcing fruit or forcing works after salvation is not a way of salvation. So this is a big issue in many places. As I was talking about Ireland, but I was over there, several of the pastors that we associate with there over there said that they've gone to several of these ordinations of men, been trained in other schools and so on, that say there's three ways of salvation in the Old Testament, repentance and faith and works. And the works is part of the salvation. No, works has never been part of salvation. Never. There's nothing a man can do. Maybe they're confusing the fruit of salvation with works, but they shouldn't call these works. It's the fruit of salvation. But the big point here is the way of salvation is trusting in the Lord, having repented of sin. So, now whereas Psalm 1 declared, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's Psalm 1:6. So notice there in the passage, I've given it to you there, there's two ways, the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. And so the way of the righteous is known by the Lord, and his knowledge just brings in his plan for them and so on. And the way of ungodly shall perish. So there's contrast here. so here the Lord is certain. In Jeremiah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So here he starts this out in verse 5. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So now man here, or as you even see in the English, it's the man. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So was this a particular man? Well, who was a particular man in the day of Jeremiah? Well, we can think of several men. Certainly, there's Josiah, but he was a godly man. So we're not talking about Josiah, but we could be talking about the four men that followed him. For instance, Jehoiakim was one of his sons. So if you look there in 2 Kings, so the point here is, does Jeremiah have a particular man in mind who is an example of all men? So if you look there in 2 Kings, chapter 23, about Jehoiakim. So, quite often the writers of Scripture are very particular and speak particularly about certain situations in their lifetime, like we do when we preach. We're not just talking in generality. Sometimes we have to bring in the current situation. And so there, let's see, we're in 23, 35, where we see, so here's Jehoiakim. So Jehoiakim gave the silver and gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give the money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. Exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land and of everyone according to his taxation to give it to Pharaoh Necho. Why does he want to give money to Pharaoh? Because he wants Pharaoh's protection. He wants to buy off Pharaoh to protect him and them from Babylon. See that? He's trusting in man. There's an example. You think Jehoiakim would be an example of the man, as he says here, the man, cursed be the man that trusted in man. Did Jehoiakim do that? Yes. He's under the curse of God. There's a practical example of that. Likewise, with Zedekiah, he's the last king. Chapter 24, verse 17, and other places here. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. So he allowed that to be done. Wait a minute. You're going to make me king, but you're going to change my mind? I'll go along with that just to appease you. You follow that? So there's Zedekiah. There's two examples. Now, we're not in that group, are we? Cursed be the man that trusted in man. We're not either of those men, so we're safe. No. That comes down to us. The tendency is always to trust in the visible, in man, what man can do. And so the divine curse falls upon those who make the carnal flesh their source of trust and influence, while they're under the knowledge of the Lord, allow their heart to depart. So you think of these two men. They were kings in Judah. They knew about the Lord. They knew about the temple. They knew biblical truth. And yet they trusted in man. They knew they should have trusted in the Lord, but they trusted in man. And it would seem apparent that these wicked, wicked men were not saved men. It would seem apparent. So curse fell upon them. It did not benefit them at all to trust in Egypt or in trust in the Babylonian king. It didn't benefit them. It never benefits. Maybe a temporary benefit. I'll trust in man for a little bit. Temporary benefit, no. In times when we have a choice or an option between trusting man or trusting the Lord, it never benefits us to trust man. It always benefits trusting the Lord, even though that's more difficult. So the professed believer who's caught betwixt trusting carnal and worldly influence or divine wisdom and truth, so we're betwixt between this carnal worldly influence, trust that, or divine wisdom and truth, becomes a candidate for the Lord's judgment. So we want to put our trust in the Lord. Now, Jeremiah is making some serious statements here. He's bringing up his interpretation, you might say, of Psalm 1 and making it pertinent to the very audience. And so we have to look beyond man to look to the Lord. This is what honors the Lord. We trust him. We trust him when it looks like nothing possibly could work. From a human point of view, unless I trust some man, he'll figure it out for me. No, that's not the way it works. The Lord's the one who can change his things overnight. Man is highly limited. So we know the truth. This is not the first time I've ever heard this truth. Not first time. But do we get a regular victory over this? Do we get a regular victory over this? So verse 6, for he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. So notice that word heath, only found two times, heath. What is a heath? I'm glad you asked. So the Lord likened the individual with the departed heart as the heath. It's found one other time in the desert. The old English word heath means destitute. And in Psalm 102:17, that's how it's translated. So it's translated heath in two places, but the word is also translated destitute in Psalm 102:17. And refers to the wasteland, the uncultured land, or some forlorn plant in the wilderness. So a heath is something that's in the wasteland. It's either a plant or just the land itself, uncultivated land. I don't know what, if farmers ever have a plot of land over here, they don't cultivate it. But it's the uncultivated land. It's something destitute. It's a wasteland. And so here he says, for he shall be like the heath. This context probably referring to a plant in a desolate place in the desert. In fact, it says that, heath in the desert. All right. So the English word heathen, I've heard the word heathen, right? But heathen comes from heath. So what's a heathen? A heathen is somebody who lives in the heath or the desolate place. All right, learn a little vocabulary today. You're writing down vocabulary, increasing your vocabulary a little bit. This is biblical vocabulary. All right, you got that down? All right. So the word heathen, now we use the word heathen all the time. So... but not the word heath. So it refers to somebody living on uncultivated land or an outcast. Furthermore, the hard-hearted individual will not see when good comes. So you think of it, hard-hearted person, there's nothing good. I don't appreciate anything. You know, I chose the song, Thanks to God, on purpose. Think of that. The song, thanks to God for my redemption. Can that be a starting place? Can you make a list of 10 things you're thankful for? Can you do that? Can you make a list of 10 things you're thankful for? Do we have a thankful heart? It ought to start off with, I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for my redemption. I'm thankful for the people in my life. I'm thankful for what he's given me. Can we do that? Can we be thankful? Thanks to God for my redemption. That should be a song in our heart. So here are those that are the heath, the dried up ones, those that are hard-hearted will not see when good comes. The world doesn't know when good comes. It's all temporary. They think it's good. It's good. It's good if it benefits me. It's good if it's financial. It's good if it's pleasurable, you know, and short-lived. So a dried-up soul, for a dried-up soul, nothing that comes from the Lord is good. The individual who sees no good manifests unthankful behavior. That's Romans 1:21. I appreciated the Sunday school lesson about 4 weeks ago on Romans 1:21, and thankfulness leads to what? Sodomy. The worst of the worst sins, because it's anti being fruitful and multiply. Right. And purposely lives in the wilderness of parched places and salt lands of isolation. Can you imagine that? Salt lands, parched places, salt lands. Scripture is very descriptive there. The Lord had promised rest to those who walk in the good way. Jeremiah back there in chapter 6, says this. he says in 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand in ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. So walk in the good way. Walk in the good way. In trials, the Lord gives rest to those who walk in his ways. So he gives rest. He helps believers to see in the darkness of the night, of the challenges that come upon us, oh, here's something good. It's come my way, and the Lord has given me something good on purpose in a dark time. But if we're not right with Him, there's no good in this dark time. There is good. He gives it to us right at the right time we need it. So Judah could receive rest, salvation, and protection as the Babylonians are coming. Now remember, this is the background. The Babylonians are ruthless. They'll cut up everybody, cut up pregnant women. They'll destroy, they'll murder, they'll just kill everybody off. But there could be a blessing, could be good. The Lord could protect somebody like He protected Jeremiah if they would just trust in the Lord. All right, verse 6 then. So now focus on the heath or the heath plant in the desert, because by the time we get to verse 8, we see the contrast. All right, so the contrast of one's object of trust is obvious. In this fallen world of vanity, so do we know anything about vanity? Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Let's see, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and it must be about verse 2, right? You get that right? All right. It's true, we live in a world of vanity. I read Ecclesiastes, what is it, 9:9, live joyfully with the wife in the vanity of life, or something like that. So there is joy in this vain world. The Lord gives us blessings in this vain world. But this vain world is not our final station. We move on to complete blessing. So in the contrast of one's object trust is obvious. In this fallen world of vanity, trust in the Adamic race is futile, fruitless, and empty. It comes with dryness and bitterness of soul. Sadness and depression follow. In contrast, the psalmist said, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalm 146. So notice here, there's the happy, there's the help, and there's the hope. If that helps you any. The happy, help, and the hope. Comes about by having the God of Jacob, his help, and our hope is in the Lord. Nevertheless, in this fallen world, divine blessing is available. Jeremiah declared in our passage here, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. So think of that. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Trust in the Lord brings hope. Trust in human wisdom and advice gives what? Gives no hope. It may be temporary, sounds good, it's gone. Didn't work out. We ever say anything about the Lord? His plan for me didn't work out. I've gone back to the secular world. Does anybody ever say that? Lord's will and plan for me, never, it just did not work out. So I'm going to go back to my old cronies and get their advice, and it really will help me, and I'll be happy. All right? We never hear that. All right, then verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither it shall cease from yielding fruit. So apparently Jeremiah expounded and expanded on David's Psalm 1, blessed is the man. So here we have that, blessed is man, back in verse 7. Now he's expanding on it. In contrast to the heath plant in the dry desert, David said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's Psalm 1:3. So we have a tree planted and a heath plant. heath plant in a desert place and a tree planted by rivers of water. See the contrast? What's Jeremiah trying to say here? You can choose the heath plant or you can choose the tree. Which you want? Which do you want? He added, that spreadeth her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. In challenging times and situations, trust in the Lord gives hope. That is why he brings difficulties to challenge us to trust and have hope. We have hope. We have the blessed hope. So all of our trials may end tomorrow. Think about it. It'll all end tomorrow. We have the blessed hope. And we only live one day at a time, right? So I'm thinking down 6 months down the road and things are going to be terrible. Oh, you got that guaranteed, do you? You have 6 months guaranteed? You don't have 6 months guaranteed. You don't know what's going to Lord's going to do. But we have one day at a time. We trust in him, and we don't know when he's going to interrupt everything. So that is why he brings difficulties. He brings difficulties for us to grow. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and shall find pasture. So he's talking about land now, pasture. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So where are you? Are you holding your heath plant there and getting all dried up? Or are you next to the tree that's being watered by the Lord, by the water and so on? So he's given us all a pasture. It's either, are we in the desert? Are we in the well-watered land? He gives us pasture. So the big question here is, are we prospering our withering in our pasture? We're in our pasture. So are we prospering or withering in our pasture? So the heath plant. We have a new vocabulary word here, but it's not academic. Although you learn something. So I'll ask you next week about what does heath mean. But greater than this is the dryness that comes, or the destitution that comes when that's where we are, rather than we are being well watered in the Word of God and enjoying the Lord's will in this fallen world. And so Jeremiah has a passage for his audience. Does this relate any to us at all? Is this relatable? Or is this, boy, I hope those Jews got this point. Boy, Jeremiah really waxed eloquent on them. And they're hugging that heath plant. And they need to get that straightened out here. No, it's about us as well. About us as well. So we need to think in terms of all this. Our Father, we pray that you bless us. Pray the Spirit of God will deal with our hearts. Help us to rejoice in what we have in the Lord and put our trust in him. And challenging times, pray that you bless each one. Pray that you'll encourage us in the Word of God. We thank thee for the truth that Jeremiah's laid out for his audience, and help us to make it applicable to us as well. We pray for, ask in Jesus' name. Amen.